the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast, and we're thrilled today to have in the studio with us our new cotton specialist, Dr. Brian Paralisi. How you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing well. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Brian. How you doing, bud?
Fine. Thank you.
All right, man. Well, you know, we're kind of partial to Brian. He come out of our program here at Stoneville and worked a lot with Jason and I, so we know this cat pretty well and glad to have him on board and replacing Darren. Brian, you're a native Mississippian?
That is correct. Native Delton.
Well, give us a little bit about your background before we start grilling you on questions.
Yeah, man, because I'm unbelievably proud of you and the things that you've done, you know, even up to this point, you know, in this extension career that you have. But I mean, the way you did it, man, that means a lot to a lot of people. And so don't cut any corners on your story.
Yeah, don't short sell
people
yourself.
Really appreciate, you know, who you are and where you came from.
Yeah, well, thank you. A lot of that is by chance too. So I do have an agriculture background. I grew up on a farm, and it was primarily cotton from the age of my earliest memory through 2007 or 2008. I went to Mississippi State and got an undergrad, bachelor's, and it's basically agronomy, but or integrated pest management now. I think it was ag pest management then. That probably reveals my age a little. Went home and went to the farm with my dad and uncle, and we grew primarily cotton for a while, and then we transitioned into grain more heavily after 2008. Earned a master's degree in business during that time. Got married. I have three sons. 2016 is when I went to work for Bobby and you too, Jason, as my professors, and got finished this year. So that's kind of in a nutshell my story.
Well, that's in a nutshell for sure, because there was a lot of in between in that you worked hard to get to where you're at today. And
again, well, yeah, and there's just not too many people that can be out of school for that length of time and then say, you know what, I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to work full time in the process.
And not only am I going to go back to school and work full time, I'm going to go back to school, work full time on a PhD.
Yeah. And I'm married and I have three kids and all the things that come along with that. So, man, it blew me away when I heard that, you know, this is what you wanted to do, and then to watch you do it and do it well was just really impressive, man.
Well, there's a lot of people along the way that are support, y'all included, and my family's been very supportive. And, you know, I mean, of course, I've been able to do it on my own, but there's a lot of support.
So
good people along the way.
As a 10-year-old kid playing in a cotton trailer, that probably dates you more than some other things. But as a 10-year-old kid playing in a cotton trailer, did you ever dream you would be the state cotton specialist?
Never in a million years. I do remember listening to Dr. McCarty on the radio when I was driving a tractor, and it's still, I've thought about that position, but I never in a million years dreamed that would be, you know, my fate. However, it is, and it's a pretty cool feeling.
Well, and we got no doubt that you're going to do a good job, just for the simple fact that you're obviously vested in it. Growing up with it, you don't ever get away from it. No matter what you go and do, you're always going to be, you know, have a really close tie to the farm and to cotton production.
Well, yeah, it's quite interesting how the world works out. Who would ever thought that Jason and I would be doing what we're doing as close to home as we are? I mean, it ends up the way it's supposed to end up, and we appreciate you being in this position. Now, saying that, I know you've been out and about on the road, looking around. Give me your assessment right now of what you've seen, where you think we've at, and some crop condition.
Okay. Yeah, I've definitely been on the road, and I've definitely been to most corners of the state. Obviously, hadn't been able to visit with as many people due to the circumstances that we're in. As a whole, from what I've seen, I would say the cotton crop looks good to very good. is still early. I would say mid bloom, early to mid bloom is where most of the cotton is.
From what I've seen, I tend to agree with that.
I mean, obviously there's some that's further along than others and some further behind. The east side of the state has some really good looking cotton I've seen. I've seen some 18 to 20 node cotton that's getting this third to fourth shot of PGR application, you know, and they've been started on it early and still picking it. So, I mean, that's the secret to their crop vegetative management. In the Delta, I would say similar as far as the growth and the PGR activity. We've been spraying for some plant bugs. The bollworm flight, I think, is beginning and is expected to. I don't want to get in Angus and Whitney and them's wheelhouse on that, but from what when I speak with them, they're expecting it this week, and I think it's starting to show up. But it's been relatively light. Pest pressure has been relatively light. Weed control has been pretty active. You know, with the wet conditions we had, a lot of grass broke through, but I think this is under control now.
Yeah, it looks decently clean, you know, the places that I've been. And I hadn't been down, it's been probably 3 weeks or so since I've been down in that, you know, big South Delta cotton area. But then, you know,
I'm headed down there a little later today. I'll give y'all an update.
Went north a couple times last week, and I think, you know, for the most part, the weed control looks pretty decent. Just like in any, you know, corn or beans or rice, there's a few wavy fields here and there that you wonder, you know, what happened to them. But I think, you know, like you said, for the most part, it's pretty solid right now for the middle of July.
There's been sorry.
No, I was just saying, you know, if we could, you know, keep the heat up and, you know, catch a rain here and there, that'd be even better.
You don't have to keep the heat up in this room right now.
Sure don't.
It's a little warm.
I've seen some low-end, you know, drainage issues. And Jason, like me and you, we've been on several calls that we've met on as far as seeing some off-target,
yeah,
you know, with technologies not coincided well, but hadn't been terribly bad, but it's been there.
You know, it was real similar to that. Was real similar to what it was last year. Not real, real widespread, but where it's happened, you know, we've had some pretty intense cases of it, and but fortunately it hadn't been, you know, big acres yet like we've had in other years.
Well, and my question to both of y'all is, you know, cotton is completely different than what we saw with soybeans when you look at the acreage mix of the dicamba versus the 2,4-D technologies. So we've got a lot more chance to get something wrong in cotton, I guess, than we had in soybeans. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say so, especially in areas where you have big acreages of each technology existing together. And that's where we typically have seen it. Hadn't been in many small spots.
Yeah, and two, the difference, or a difference between the first couple of, well, we're in year four now. But, you know,
we're in year four.
Yeah, if you go back to, you know, 2017 – and even into 2018 on the soybean side, there just wasn't, aside from Roundup Ready, you know, without the Xtend technology or the scatter of Liberty Link that we had, there wasn't another option. So if we're talking about, you know, Enlist, we just never have had any acres of Enlist soybeans. But on the cotton side, and I don't do varieties, but, you know, we have a lot better offerings, you know, for variety selection with the Enlist technology in cotton than we do, you know, in the South for soybeans. And so then you even get to the point of, you know, some folks have both technologies on their own farm, and then it can really get, you know, sketchy on how all that's handled.
So when you're talking about off target and what y'all have looked at, I haven't been on any of those calls with y'all this year. Is it pure off-target movement, or is there some spray tank contamination? What have y'all been seeing? Because you just mentioned guys having the same technology on the same farm. Can they get cleaned out? Or
I've seen both. I've seen tank contamination and off-target movement. And to address what you were saying with the farmers that could potentially plant both and within their operation, Well, there, a lot of times I think it's a good, their intention is to buffer their neighbor, or, you know, oftentimes, but that also raises the percent chance of sprayer contamination, because you're, you know, it doesn't take much at all to be in your system. And I think that happens some. But what's your take on it, Jason?
Well, I think you're right on the sprayer contamination, because cotton is as sensitive to 2,4-D as soybeans are to dicamba, and that's a definite problem. I don't even remember who this was, but I talked to someone last week that they had two sprayers. They had an older sprayer, and then they had upgraded and kept the old sprayer too, and they grew some rice, and so they were spraying their endless cotton with their rice sprayer. And then they had one that was basically dedicated to dicamba, not dedicated, but they used more for dicamba spraying soybeans and spraying cotton. You mentioned about the different types, Bobby. We saw this is actually Ben and I looked at this one several weeks ago now, but it was dust. 2,4-D had moved in some dust. It had a big dust storm, and the guys that experienced that, they know what I'm talking about. But that was different to see. Really low level injury. It showed up on a couple of nodes and then it was gone. But just the fact that everybody did everything right, and then you had a freak weather event that moved some treated soil.
Well, and a lot of people don't think about that treated soil unless you're in my area working with fertility, and you see how the plants grow bigger on the turn row, or right upside the turn row, where they're getting all the dust and getting, quote, foliar nutrition via dirt.
And, it's been talked about as one of the sources of off-target movement, and with dicamba as well. Hadn't really seen it on scale. We've had a couple cases of it here on the station, just really small areas. But that's the first time I'd ever seen it on a
– in a real-world situation.
Yeah, and on a big, big scale, too. I mean, this is a lot of acres that we're talking about that were affected. But, again, what we looked at was really mild.
In taking on the cotton roll, I know for years I ran the cotton OVTs. And when I moved to the rice position, we moved those OVTs to Darren. So I assume that you have – I don't have to assume, because I'm still cooperating with you. You have control of the OVTs now. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how many varieties are in there, where the locations are at, and then if you want to speak to the rest of your own farm, large plot variety trials, what all you got going on in year number one?
Yeah, sure. There's plenty going on. I have the OVTs. We have 9 of them this year. Off the top of my head, see if I can name them all. We got McCoy's got one in Verona, and we have Senatobia, Tunica, Clarksdale, Sidon. We have one on campus, one in Brooksville, Stoneville, and I'm leaving one out.
Somewhere down around Yazoo City, I'd assume.
It escapes me. If it comes to me, I will. So we have 17 county demos, and we have them East Delta, West Delta. We have east of the state and the north end of the state. We have some in the hills southwest of Jackson around Edwards. We also have some variety trials. We have one in Jackson County, south of Wiggins. It's really close to the coast, which is kind of cool to have that represented. Every corner. We're in northeast, northwest Mississippi, east, west, southeast, southwest.
So on those 17 on-farm large plot trials, how many varieties are in them?
Most of them, the core is 10. We have one that has 11, and then, some different people wanted to throw some in. And then our goal was to have 15 that had everything in it, and some of the cooperators didn't want to have different technologies on their farm. So we have 14 that have everything, and 17 total. And we have 3 enlist, and then the rest are extend. So it's pretty representative of the popular varieties, and it gives the growers yield performance and just overall, if they want to see just yield and growth and how they perform across different areas of the state.
So what's up and coming in the variety area? I know we got some that have been around for 3, 4, plus years and are still going strong. And that's kind of been the exception rather than the rule in cotton. You know, we've kind of, you know, brought those in and out for several years. So what do you think's on the rise?
Well, Delta Pines got there, was it 2012, 2038? In there, and they're looking for that, and plus, and we have 1646, and List has a nematode variety in there. I think it's tolerant to reniform, and the 390 and the 400. We have a Nutrien 3520 that looks really good. I mean, it's growing off well, fruiting very well. Stoneville is 40. I think 4990. I have to look back. I mean, there's a million numbers in my head.
I don't know. You're the cotton specialist.
Yeah. Man, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. NextGen has their 4390, 96 and 48.
NextGen is Americot, right?
Yes. So they have two really good looking varieties in there, too.
You lost me after 1646 and Phytogen.
That's all you got on your farm in Arkansas, ain't it?
No, but I mean, that's just the two I know. I mean, we're not doing cotton plots anymore, so I'm not.
There's so many similar numbers keeping up with them that I have to oftentimes look in my notes, make sure I get it right.
Well, we hadn't talked to Tom in a while about cotton. So, Brian, where are we at with the cotton leaf roll virus? Have you seen any of that this year?
I hadn't seen it this year, and I hadn't had a single call about it. A few people have talked about it. I know aphids have been on the rise. You know, it could be, you know, in the process of emerging. I'm sure some people have seen it, but it hadn't been a call that I've reported to.
Tom said it was basically in every single field in the state. Isn't that what he said when he was in here a couple weeks ago?
I don't want to quote Tom, but I think he said there was a possibility that it would be in every field in the state.
That's what it was.
And I think people are worried about everything else going on than that at this point. Usually when something is going on that's pretty big and widespread, I get some calls on it.
So if we're sitting here right now and you said we're probably in the second week to bloom on some cotton, we're not really as late with cotton as we were with rice and soybean and corn to some degree.
I would agree with that. Most of the cotton in the state really went in at the optimal time. It was dry. We had that cold snap at the end of April. It dried up, and then I'd say a vast majority of the people that were ready to plant planted in those 10 days to 14 days, and it was dry. And it stayed dry, you know, through May with very, you know, a few isolated. It might have been a few places that got some rain, but a lot of cotton got planted right in on time.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I looked at one field, I don't even remember when it was, mid-April, you know, maybe the 20th or something like that. And it had been in the ground for a while, so it was, you know, that field that got planted probably the first week of April. And it was hurting, but you know, I've been driven by it since, hadn't got out and looked. But it made it, and, you know, looks good now. And cotton, you know, if it doesn't die when it's little, I mean, it can be really, really resilient.
It does come out of the ground looking for a way to die,
that's
though.
A fact.
Yeah, the earlier April cotton was, I got a lot of calls about that, and a lot of it suffered that cold. I mean, luckily, it didn't last long, but it just didn't have good growing weather till May, after May.
And when we see, you know, we see that in all the other crops, too. There's always some really, really early soybeans. Not a lot, but there's always, you know, a few fields.
Really, really, really early rice.
Really, really early rice. It seems like it, you know, comes up and it's two leaf for 6 weeks. And then it, you know, when it finally kicks off and goes, it goes.
But we push all of these early, early planting dates. But on the other side of that is when you get a year like this year and you plant the second to third week of March, you're really not picking up any DD50s until middle of May this year, really.
Yeah.
I mean, April was very cool.
It was, I think, and I haven't looked at the weather data, but, you know, a couple years ago, 2018 was, I think, exceptionally cool. If I may be off a year, but, and I the only reason I say that, Bobby, I was scrolling through some pictures, building some slides a few minutes ago, and I had a picture of some pigweeds up on April the 5th. So that, you know, that tells you that it was, you know, we at least had some warm days. And I think April, you know, I think it probably warmed up in March, And then in April, we kind of went the other way.
The cotton trailer dates you. There's kids out there that ain't never seen a module, much less a cotton trailer.
From module builder, let alone a trailer. Did y'all have a stomper?
Oh, like a hired stomper?
No, no, no. One of them hydraulic stompers that went on a three-point hitch on a tractor.
No.
See, that we didn't either. I never saw one of those.
I didn't know anybody.
That was a Louisiana thing. When I got to LSU, people were talking about stomping cotton. I'm like, man, we trumped cotton. Yeah. I don't know what y'all did.
Stomping is different than trumping, I guess.
But they had it is big triangle steel thing, and it was basically a backhoe.
Uh-huh.
And they took the bucket off and put this big, you know, big piece of metal on it.
Yeah. No, we never had one of those. But I am looking forward to riding on a new cotton picker because I haven't ever done that. I think the last picker I drove was a 9976, and I think that's going to be kind of cool. So I'm looking forward to that.
Until you have one little plastic part go out like Jason and shuts
the whole thing down.
Well, all of that's fun for about 2 hours.
Well, Brian, we appreciate you coming over today, and I know you had some other business in the area, so we won't take up any more of your time. But again, we're proud to have you working with our group. And guys, if y'all need anything from Brian or from us, always just give us a call, and we'll do whatever we can for you.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, and holler at me if I can help you.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.